Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with lightworkers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. And I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy. And that means no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason. And I hope something you hear in the next hour gives you an aha moment and helps you move forward. What would your life be like if you embraced your intuition? Well, my guest on today's show is Susanna Axiza, and she believes, as I do, that when we tap into our intuition, we can connect with the highest and best version of ourselves and access the tools that allow us to create our own lives in our own way. I'll introduce you to Susanna in just a moment, but first, would you please head over to fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything? That is the place to find out all about what's coming up on this show, and there's a lot coming up on this show. Sonia Choquette will be my guest on Wednesday, the 28th of August, talking about her new book. I'll be interviewing Dr. Georgina Cannon tomorrow on BBS Radio, sitting in as host of the Dr. Pat Show. There's a ton of great guests coming your way. There's all kinds of stuff, all different ways you can connect with me. Fogcitypsychic.com is the place to find out all about that. You can also sign up for the newsletter so you get those delightful discounts, grab a free guided meditation, gaze in awe at my giant floating head on the website, and lots more. The next online psychic development intensive begins on Monday, September 9th. If you are curious about exploring and experimenting with your intuition in a safe space, if you would like to gain some tools for connecting with and trusting your intuition, then check it out. It's a chance to work very closely with me in a small group to be guided to a deeper understanding of your own abilities and how to use them. Fogcitypsychic.com/intensive has all the details. And as always, if you are looking for compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive guidance, I would love to connect with you privately. If you feel like we're a good fit for each other, go ahead and get in touch through the website, fogcitypsychic.com. And now, imagine working in the City of London and being told you know more about intuition than those who are teaching it. When that happened to Susanna Axiza, her reply was an immediate, "I don't do intuition." But 10 years later, her passion for problem solving morphed into a passion for coaching others to recognize, trust, and use their intuition with confidence so that they can become the very best version of themselves. Her personal journey to understand how her intuition works and her years of sharing what she knows with others has made Susanna a hands-on expert in the very practical, everyday application of intuitive intelligence. Now, as well as coaching individuals and companies around the world, she's also the channel for Ascended Master Lord Lanto, who was Lao Tzu, the father of the Tao, in a previous life. She lives in, northeast Italy, near her favorite city in the world, Venice. Oh, my goodness. The after party for the show is at Susanna's house. You can get more information about Susanna and her work at thegapcoach.com. Susanna, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Hi, I'm so delighted to be here. And what a great introduction. Thank you so much, Karen.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, we can all come over later. That's okay, right?
It might take a few hours to get here, but you're very welcome.
Wonderful. How did you connect with this work?
Oh, very reluctantly. I often say that I was dragged kicking and screaming to it. I was born hugely intuitive, but putting it very bluntly, it freaked out the adults around me. And So I soon disowned it in order to make it through to adulthood, quite honestly. It was that serious. And so I've sort of lived half of my life without owning my intuition, but it working despite my disowning it. Not working all the time, but working very powerfully whenever I was in a situation that really required intense guidance. And the other half of my life, re-owning it, really. And I'll tell you one thing, and that is I never, ever, ever want to be without my intuition, ever. I'll do whatever it takes.
Do you think you can be without your intuition? I mean, do you think it's possible to really completely shut it off? You and I have very similar stories, it turns out. Do you think you can ever completely shut it off? For me, even when I tried my hardest, it didn't go away.
No, I don't think you can, because we're never meant to. I think that there is one, well, I know that there is one form of intuition, which I call the useless map. And if we have time, I'll tell you more about that later. But this form of intuition is rather like the instinctive fight, flight, and freeze mechanism. It is stronger than any mental or intellectual ability. It is there whether we like it or not, because particularly for those of us who have chosen to have some fairly tough things happen to them, particularly when we're very small, we need to be kept safe. We need to survive. And so this form of intuition needs to work.
That's the get out now kind of intuition, right?
It can be the get out now. For me, its role is to say, remember that no matter how terrible things get, you're not a victim of this. You are very powerful, and this is only ever meant to be temporary.
Wow. That's very powerful, because one of the things that happens when, at least in my experience, when people lose touch with their intuition, when they forget about that tool, is that nothing seems temporary. Everything seems like it's going to last forever.
Absolutely. Yeah, they lose touch with their own power. So this is the form of intuition that, rather like, as I said, the fight, flight, or freeze instinct within us, that it instinctively keeps us safe in whatever form it needs to do that. Then this is the form that reminds us of how powerful we are whenever we are in danger of falling into the trap of forgetting that. And it guides us out of that dark tunnel. It does whatever it has to do, and usually, just like the fight, flight, or freeze instinct that says, get out now, it comes in the form of very simple instructions. Because let's face it, you know, when you're panicking, I teach my students this, when you are, if you can't swim and suddenly your mates have thrown you into a swimming pool, into the deep end, and you're struggling and your arms and legs are flailing, you don't want the lifeguard to sit by the edge of the pool and go, yeah, I know exactly what's happening, this is happening and that's happening, and actually I wouldn't move your arms so much because it's counterintuitive and it's not actually helping you, and if you carry on like that, you'll actually drown. You want someone to say, relax, stop, relax, and to repeat the word relax for as long as it takes for you to absorb that message, to understand, well, I've got nothing else, I've got nothing to lose, so I might as well try it, and for you to put it into action. So this form of intuition, I'll tell you it now. I call it the useless map because I was so taken with the Cryon parable of Michael Thomas coming home. where he's given a map for this journey that he's taking, the journey of his life towards his soul. And he looks at the map for help, but when he does so, he finds that all the map tells him is you're here. Doesn't give him any more information. And he gets so frustrated with it, he calls it the useless map. Now, when we're not in this traumatized, unbelievably stressed, grieving, fearful environment, then we too would call it a useless map because we're able to absorb more information. But when we are traumatized, when we are deeply stressed for whatever reason, we can only absorb the smallest amount of intuition of information, and it has to be spot on. That's why it's the useless map. It is life-saving when we're in that situation. We could consider it to be quite useless when we're not in that situation.
Yes. Where, Susanna, do you think intuition comes from? Who or what, or is it us, is deciding what message we need at the time?
Good question. I'm still filtering through the mass of information in order to be able to answer that question clearly and succinctly. And so all I can do is answer that question with what I've got so far. And these are my thoughts so far, that intuition is, if you like, something similar to the Akashic Records. So intuition is the voice that knows everything about us and so can give us the information that is going to be the most appropriate to us in any given moment or in any given situation. The other train of thought that I'm playing with is that intuition is in fact a sort of combination of different forms of intelligence that allows something within us, and this may happen at soul level, to put together the theoretical knowledge that's stored in our brain with all of our life experiences to date and all of our dreams, and to mediate between those three priorities in order to bring us some clarity and a way forward.
That's fascinating, because when I think, going back to that idea of being out of touch with your intuition, when we are looking at our intuition, it's not just like, oh, I know what happens next, or I know that I should relax in this situation. You're talking about something that deepens the context of everything, something that gives you a greater perspective, honestly, in every area of your life.
Absolutely, because for me, one of the ways I describe intuition is the voice of the universe and of universal wisdom. So, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Otherwise, why would intuition work with you in such a way as to encourage you or give you opportunities to make decisions around things that you cannot explain in any logical way to anyone? All you can say is, I don't know why I'm doing it, it makes me happy. But as my friends used to say, we stop worrying about you now when you say these words, I don't know why I'm doing it, it's just because it makes me happy. Because we know that when you say that, it's a sign that you will land with your butt in the butter.
That's an expression I haven't heard. That's a good thing?
That's a British expression. And the friends I'm talking about are British. So it's an expression that we would use.
And it's a good thing to land with your butt.
Oh, it's great, because if you think you're not landing on hard concrete where you're going to jolt your spine, you're landing on butter, which with the warmth of your bottom will be warmed and slightly melted and therefore cushioned, and you'll slide. Sorry, this is getting really graphic, isn't it? Dear me.
What an interesting image for our spiritual development. As you were mentioning your friends saying that they're no longer worried about you. They know that when you follow your intuition, that everything goes well. We started by talking a little bit about how you felt like you had kind of swallowed that intuition, held it back. That's very much like what I did. For me, I had a medical, kind of a physical health crisis in my early 40s that, for me, brought everything into very sharp relief. And I had a moment where I understood that I could absolutely keep going as I was going, or I could use my gifts and then all the training and all the other things that I had that use my intuition to kind of make a complete package, put it together, bring things full circle around me. What was it like for you when you decided to stop swallowing your intuition and move forward? What did you do? What was it like?
Well, I decided to do it because at the age of 40, I had a heart attack, and I tried. I have no tolerance for pharmaceuticals. Even a simple aspirin knocks me silly, and antibiotics. Well, we're not even going to talk about them. I've just been on a course of antibiotics, and I had paranoia. The most appalling, you know, normal things of diarrhea, sickness, and all of that. I had nightmares, and this was from a mild antibiotic. I mean, this is getting crazy. So I had no tolerance for the beta blockers that I was being given to try to control and ameliorate my symptoms, and so was feeling worse on the drugs than I was before I was on the drugs. And I, after 2 years of this, and the doctors eventually losing interest in me because they couldn't seem to get me better, I remember just sitting up in bed either one night or one morning, I think it was at night, and just in total frustration looking up to the ceiling and saying, "That's it. Guess what? From now on, you get to row this boat, because I obviously am not capable of doing it, because I've just created a disaster. So you get to do it. I give up." And that opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
And it opened me up to acknowledging that I did have some intuition, even though when told by two different ascended masters that I knew more about intuition than the teachers did. I said, "Sorry, I know you're very wise and all that, but I just don't do intuition. Sorry." I mean, how can you tell an ascended master this? But I did. I mean, we can laugh now, fortunately, and they did. They chuckled. I studied mythology, Greek mythology at school. I studied world religions. At university, I took an extra course in theology. So I'd always played around religion, but knew that it wasn't enough. And then in my 30s, I'd got back into world religions and mild forms of spirituality and the wisdom traditions. And they were fascinating to me, but I was doing it all undercover, if you like. And the heart attack blew that wide open. And it took a long while for me to admit to friends who knew me as a left brain, you know, corporate problem solver, to admit that, you know, I was into woo-woo land. And it took me even longer to come clean about being a channel. But it took me a long time to accept that I was a channel. And that was because of another ascended master saying, "You are a trance channel," and leaving hanging in the air, "So, my dear, get used to it."
I love that idea. My very first memory of my guides from when I was a little girl, Susanna, is telling them to shut up and go away. So that's how I began my long and fruitful relationship with my guides. The good thing about our guides, about the ascended masters, is that they hang around because they have a bigger picture than we do. You know, and we're brats in the moment, or at least I certainly was. But that kind of guidance, that framework for us, that support for us is there even when we're having a little temper tantrum.
I think you need the skepticism. In fact, I'm the master's here, so I've just been slightly corrected. The skepticism that we have is very, very healthy, and it's indispensable because it allows you to see both sides of the coin, and that becomes more and more central to the work that you do. Because it allows other people who come to you who aren't quite sure to say, well, they understand because they've been there too.
Yes. Yes. And in your work as the GAP coach, in your work working with people, with corporations, you are kind of the person kneeling by the side of the pool, giving the guidance that is necessary at the time, whether you're flailing and drowning or whether you're moving smoothly through the water. You've been able to take your own experience and now you're helping other people. Can you say a little bit about that work that you do?
Well, actually, you've almost hit the nail on the head. I would describe it as coming from the position that was very fear-based, but it was an acquired fear. But nonetheless, I had acquired the fear, so it had become mine. And it was a fear-based position of, if I open up to this or talk about it, I will not be accepted and I will lose. We are pack animals. We need communities. We are very sociable and social animals. And so we need the group. We need the family unit or the peer group or whatever. We need it for our basic survival. And so I was very colored by an enormous fear for my survival through the loss of the acceptance of the group, whatever that group happened to be. And so I see my role as holding a space of trust for others to come through that portal of fear into, this is okay.
Wow.
And because I've done it, I don't really need to do anything. I don't need to say anything. I don't need to explain anything. The energy does it all for me. But that's what the master means when, through me, he says, it's indispensable, it's very healthy, and it's central to the way that you work if you're going to be really effective.
And when you're working with corporate clients who, or even sort of institutions who maybe are not that used to, you know, I'm opening my arms, come to me through the door of fear. How do you take that very true message and put it in a way that doesn't freak them out?
Yeah, great question. And that is, again, I seem to be referring to the master a lot in this in today's chat. That's absolutely fine. But I want to go back to something that Master's very, very clear about. And that is that, quite simply, what is the point of talking to someone if they don't understand you? And so you change your vocabulary to make sure, I mean, this is basic 101 psychology. I started out as an educational psychologist. So, you know, this is nothing strange or out there. But, you know, basically, if you want to be, what's the point of communicating if the listener or the reader doesn't understand? No point at all. In fact, it's just alienating. That's not what I'm about. I'm about empowering. And so I change my language. I listen to the words that you use, and if I find that you're using more left brain language, then I'll talk about emotional intelligence and Daniel Goleman and human resource needs and requirements and the research on teams and delayering and therefore the rise of the need for well-rounded individuals who are great team players. You change the language, but you're not changing the energy of the message. You're just delivering the message with an energy that the listener or the receiver can actually receive and work with in a way that's empowering for the receiver of the message.
I love that. I'm a big believer in what I call compassionate teaching. And I feel like compassionate teaching is maybe a teaching that reaches you where you are right now, not something that you have to change your entire mindset, change your entire life to understand what the teaching is, but a teaching that comes to meet you. And that's what I hear in what you're saying right now.
Absolutely. In fact, there is a great book and a great expression called Servant Leadership, and it is exactly... it deals with exactly this subject, and I think it should be required reading for anybody and everybody who aspires to be some form of leader, whether it's a mother to children, whether it's the leader of a playgroup, whether it's a teacher and facilitator of other people's growth. It doesn't matter, but as teachers, we share. We do nothing more and nothing less than share what we know in every cell of our body. And we do that in service to the other persons or the people in front of us, their growth.
Why do you think, Susanna, because there is so much growth here, there is so much possibility, potential, whole worlds open up when you embrace your intuition. Why are we so scared?
I just think it is the natural result of several centuries of having a left brain preference. And it's really only been in the last 40 or 50 years that the tide has begun to turn. Really, research that started to open academics' minds up to intuition really started, and I'm excluding here the Second World War spy programs in America and Russia, because they're something slightly different. But in the normal academic world, the research that really started opening us up to being able to approach the subject of intuition started in the 1960s. By the 1990s, we were getting into neuroscience, and that was really blowing things apart.
Yeah. And there's a way in which it having it be acceptable, having a name for it, oh, look, it's neuroscience. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, it's the cutting edge, might make it easier for people who are afraid, as you said, afraid of going to the woo-woo place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know that with one of my Norwegian clients, I mean, she has really invested in herself by just graduating from my 2-year Master of Intuition course. And her husband is an absolutely wonderful man, but he's left brain. He's an engineer. He likes to see how things work. And so as much as he wants to be involved and he knows about intuition in terms of his gut feeling, and he's enormously intuitive, this person, you can't talk about the wisdom traditions with him so easily. He struggles to follow the argument. Whereas if you say, wow, you know, the guys at this research institute have just done this brilliant piece of neuroscience that shows how the prefrontal cortex lights up when this, this, and this happens. He goes, does it really? How fantastic. Then he's with you. He's absolutely with you.
Ah, this is great fun. You're
it's
listening
the way
to,
we learn.
And it's exciting. It really does light us up. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Susanna Axtisa, the Gap Coach. Find out more about her and her work at thegapcoach.com, and we'll be right back after this. Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Jackie! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree. Yes. That one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And now, back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio, empowerradio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. That long pause that you heard there was me trying very hard not to sneeze. So we'll see how that goes. Now, some radio programs would charge extra for the sneezing. See, I don't do that. Here at Out of the Fog, we're very generous. We really want you to have that full Out of the Fog experience. So any sneezes, those are completely free. Don't even worry about it. My guest on today's show is Susanna Axcisa. She's known as the Gap Coach. She is passionate about helping people connect with how they can, in a practical way, apply what she calls their intuitive intelligence, how opening up to your intuition allows you to be the best version of yourself. Susanna, we were talking just before we went to break. You were talking about the husband of a student of yours who is very left brain, but when you can get the information to him in a way that he understands, in the language that he understands, he just lights up and embraces it. And I'm wondering what intuitive intelligence means to you. That's very different than understanding the big words or having gone to the good school, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, I've got two definitions that I'm playing with. But the one that resonates with me the most is intuition is a form of intelligence that makes it possible for you to be an extraordinary version of yourself. And this is based on, and why I've come up with this, I was looking for simple ways to describe intuition, things that set me alight, if you like. And the pun will become very clear now, because I adore mythology. I've studied it since I was almost knee-high to a grasshopper, I think. And when I went to my, you would call it in America, high school. It's your school from, when I was at school, it was from 11 until 18, and then you went on to university. And it wasn't a normal school, but we were very lucky. I had two absolutely brilliant mistresses, we called them mistresses, of English. And one took us through Greek literature and Greek mythology. And we were well and truly grounded in Greek classical literature. And I am so glad she put us through it, because it has been a very rich vein for me. And in Chinese mythology, we all know about, I'm going to take a step back. We all know about the phoenix in Western mythology, the phoenix who rises from the old phoenix who sets themselves alight, and the young phoenix who rises from the ashes of the old. Well, that resonates with me because we know that ashes are very nutritious. We put ashes on our garden in the form of compost to feed plants. So there is nutrition in what's old and burnt. Mm-hmm. Nutrition that is indispensable for the new phoenix that's growing from the old and burnt. In the Chinese mythological tradition, however, the phoenix is slightly different, particularly in the Huangfeng phoenix. And this, it was a phoenix that was given to a Chinese emperor that represents both yin and yang. It was given to the Chinese empress, rather, so that at times of extraordinary, critical growth in humanity's development, the phoenix would perform extraordinary tasks, precisely to help humanity's development. And it's this extraordinary task and helping humanity's development. And I started playing with it, and there was a free association of words. And I thought, breakthrough moments, extraordinariness, that's it. That is exactly what intuition is. And that is exactly what the three forms of intuition represent that I teach. They represent breakthrough moments, and they guide you to the breakthrough moment and through the breakthrough moment, so that then you can become, in your eyes, extraordinary. You can do things you never thought you were capable of.
And that's true. When I look at people who have tapped this rich vein, opened up to their intuition, a lot of us, I'm one of those people who says, wow, I never would have thought that things would go this way. I never would have thought this was possible.
Absolutely.
What are the three kinds of intuition? We talked a little bit about the useless map.
Well, there's another form. These aren't in a linear development. Okay, these are just three types of intuition that work with us at different stages in our life. And two of them can work together with us at any one time. Okay, we know that the useless map is the form of intuitive intelligence that works with us when we're so stressed or traumatized that we're no longer lucid. So we need very clear, very simple instructions. And it reminds us, the role of the useless map is to remind us that all our experiences, no matter how terrible, are only ever meant to be temporary. We're meant to move on. The second form of intuition is what I call friendly directions. And if you think of the useless map where you only get you are here, or stop flapping your arms, or in my case, the clearest memory of the first form of the first time that the useless map worked with me was when it gave me these words, get an education. And it kept repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. And of course, it took me 18 years to get an education. But once I'd got that education, I saw the value of having got it. And I've never looked back and I've never regretted it. So the second form, as I said, is called friendly directions, because here we're not so traumatized, we're not so stressed that we can only handle the bare minimum of information. We can actually handle quite a lot more. And it's like being invited to a friend's housewarming party. It's a new home, you don't know where it is, and she draws you a little map for how to get there. And she doesn't name all the streets, but she might say there's a bus stop here, and there's a taxi stand there, and there's a church there. And as you're driving along in your car, you know, checking off all of her landmarks and reference points that she's given you, you think, ooh, that's nice, or, ooh, I've missed that one. So some you miss, some you get, but you also find other ones that you tell your friends about when you finally get to the party and say, I got a bit lost, but hey, guess what? Did you know there's a fantastic park? So this form of intuition is there to remind us how much choice we really have. And if you miss something along the way, you miss it, no big deal. There'll be loads more. You know, it's not just one bus arriving, 23 will arrive.
Yes.
Okay, so you have tons of choice. And the third form is what I call the compass. And that is taking you full circle from needing only the barest minimum information to actually needing quite a lot to remind you that you have a lot of choice, and to never help you never forget that when you're in danger of focusing on the business of life, you're in danger of forgetting its pleasures.
Huh. As you... I'm so sorry, go ahead.
So the compass takes you full circle to say, okay, now you've had all the choice, now you can refine. So just as you would expect from a compass that gives you the four cardinal points and then points in between, the compass shows you very clearly where you have already decided you think you might like want to go with your life, how you might want to express your particular talents. And it helps you explore everything around the direction that you've chosen to the fullest. And when you choose to slightly change that direction, for example, you know, once I realized that I was a trans channel, I'm not a full trans channel yet. I don't know if I will ever will be, but it did its work. It got me being a channel. Once I realized that, then for the first 3 years, I did nothing but channeling, because I thought, why would I want to do anything else but be the body for an ascended master? You know, there's no way I can match that. Then the master turned around and said, no, my dear, why do you think you've had all of these experiences to share? And so I had to do my bit as well and not just be the Lent body. Once I realized that I had an active role to play, then I decided, well, let's go back to teaching and empowering. What do I want to do here? And so instead of, if you think that North was my channeling, then Northwest was, well, I'll teach people what I know about being a channel, or I'll share with people all of the experiences I've had in my life that I've digested that I know have been really important to my journey.
Do you think, and I'm not sure the right way to ask this, as I'm thinking about those three different ways of looking at intuition, those three different kinds, and I know you work with students, is part of the challenge for students or for just people wanting to get in touch with their intuition, is some of the the challenge that we are sometimes looking for or expecting a different kind of intuitive input than we actually get. Do you know what I mean?
I do. It's a good question. And the way I can answer that is to say that's one of the blocks to intuition. And that's where, when you're working with the compass, you really get to understand that, because the compass works with you when you can see a lot of choices, a lot of possibilities for you, but you're prepared and you're happy to let most of those choices go. Mm-hmm. Because you just want to focus on one or two things. Sometimes we really need to close doors because we know that those doors are not going to take us into the rooms we want to see or we want to live in or we want to stay in for very long.
And sometimes I think too that if we are starting out and we're used to only experiencing that useless map kind of intuition, we then, even as we open to the other kinds, as we can be more accepting of, more aware of the other kinds of input, we may still be waiting for one or two simple words, when in fact what we're receiving is much richer than that.
Yes, absolutely. And you're being trained, if you like, throughout these three different forms of intuition to let go. Because if you remember the friendly directions, it's, you know, so if you miss a landmark, miss it, let it go. There'll be loads more. If you miss a potential opportunity, let it go. Don't cry over it. Move on, because there will be loads more. So your wisdom is being refined to let go so that you can let in. Does that make sense?
It does. It does make sense. And it's that sometimes what for me was sort of a softening that I didn't know what's happening, followed by a really big opening. I think sometimes we resist that. We resist the softening. We resist the opening because we're not sure that we can handle it.
And we're culturally conditioned to have an answer, to know where we're going, to plan, to program, to know. So this is very counterintuitive. It goes against the grain that we've acquired through our cultural conditioning. It requires of us to disown, to some extent, our cultural conditioning, and to say and to live and embody, I'm okay with not knowing.
If there's someone listening right now who wanted to begin to get in touch with their intuition but didn't know how, is there something they could do right now to help that?
Oh, yes. There are several things that you can do really easily. You can decongest your spinal column. And you might say, what on earth has that got to do with your intuition? You better believe it, baby, because your spinal column is your highway of all of your nervous system. You block your nerves and you block the messages. So decongest your spinal column through stretching exercises, yoga in particular, but decongest it. Do what you need to do, but get those stretching exercises done. Stop eating meat for a month. Think about it. Most meat is not organic. So most meat is, it comes from animals that have been treated with far too many antibiotics and other pharmaceuticals, and the poor animals have unfortunately not been killed very well at all, and they have felt an awful lot of fear before they've died. So what are you eating besides the meat? You're eating the chemicals, which, let's face it, you don't really need any more in your body, do you? And what's more, you're eating their fear. Now, this isn't just me. I think it was Eldon Taylor that I got this from, and I adore Eldon Taylor's work, an enormously left brain man, but an absolute superstar. And he just said, just try it. Try it for a month and see how much more intuitive you become. It works. So stop eating meat for a month and see what happens. Stop waking up with your alarm clock because you're denying yourself one time in the day when you are at your most intuitive. And that's that midway period between sleep and wakefulness. Watch your diet. Give your body the food it needs, not the food that you're addicted to. Move, move, move. Do the five rhythms. Get up and dance. Boogie woogie. I don't care what you do, but move. And use your left brain and your right brain. Intuition doesn't mean letting go of your left brain. You need both for intuition to work powerfully. And this came to me in an early morning dream one morning and was a message that was absolutely perfect for me. And it was the title of a book which I read, and then someone read the tagline of the book and it said, "Thrash the fear beast."
Oh.
And it was so powerful for me. It was the first thing I remembered when I came to full consciousness. Thrash the fear beast.
Huh.
Do what you need to do. Work on your emotional intelligence, but resolve and digest your fears. You'll find that most of them aren't really yours. You've digested them from people around you. You've just absorbed them.
Oh, that's enormous, isn't it? Mm. Because there's a way in which we, not only with what we bring into our body through what we eat, we ingest other people's fear or disapproval or sorrow or anger or love or joy. And when we're not aware, we carry it as our own.
Particularly up until the age of about 10 years old, because there's a part of our brain where we perform complex thinking and rationalizations that isn't developed enough. And so what we see in others, if we absorb it, it becomes our own because we aren't able to separate and say, it's not mine. And so having it become our own so young, we never question it.
Huh.
And this is one of the key areas that I work with in my Master of Intuition course. And it's life-changing.
How can people who want to work with you, who want to find out more, how can people get in touch with you? What do you offer to do this work?
Well, my website is changing radically because over the last 2 years, my work has just changed beyond all recognition and I can't really keep up with it. So the best way to connect with me is on Facebook at The Gap Coach. And through that, you can join up for the newsletter. You can told about the online work that I'm developing because I'm stopping traveling all around the world like an idiot. And I'm developing more online learning materials. And that doesn't mean to say that, you know, you'll sit at home with a workbook and you'll just work through it. It means that you'll get part of that, but you'll also get access to me and group sharing sessions and a whole lot of other things. Facebook is The Gap Coach. Pinterest is The Gap Coach. YouTube is The Gap Coach. LinkedIn, I think, has more my corporate work, so I'm there as Susanna Axisa at the moment. And the website has the most up-to-date version of the Master of Intuition course, which I currently do in Norway, and the newly developed practitioners course, because now I want people to teach this material. I don't want it all to stay with me. The work's too important. So I'm now actively dedicating myself to teaching the teachers of this work.
Wow. Susanna, I cannot believe how quickly the hour went.
It's flown.
It really did. Yes, it really went quickly. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the good work that you're doing in the world. Thank you so much for your time today.
And, well, thank you so much. I've had an absolute blast, and so has the master. And if there's just one thing that has resonated with your listeners and that has helped them in any way, then I've done my job, and I'm really pleased.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. That was Susanna Axisa. You can find out more about her and her work. You can connect with her on Facebook at facebook.com/thegapcoach. You can also go to thegapcoach.com to get all that information. Sign up for the newsletter. Find out what she's doing. Check out those online offerings. And that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world and a little more lighted, more with a good faith. Until next time, I'm wishing you